Acts chapter 28. Go to Acts chapter 28. Isn't it good to have a Bible? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it'll work for anybody that will open it up and read it. And it'll especially speak to you if you're saved and you can understand what it means. I encourage you to be in the Bible every day. Acts chapter 28. We live in a day when people use words in an awkward way to try to make a point. Like sometimes people will use the word bad and what they really mean is good, or they'll say something like, "Oh, you know, that's bad," you know, but they really don't mean it that way. And there's a word tonight that sometimes you probably have heard it used the wrong way, or you may not have heard it much at all. It's the word barbarian. And a barbarian is not the kind of person that you expect good things from, is he? In fact, if you look up the definitions of the word barbarian, if you're interested in such things, barbarian is somebody who's uncivilized, not cultured, maybe rude, maybe brutish, or someone that you wouldn't expect good things from. So imagine for a minute if you were the one that was on a ship and the ship sank and you washed up on the shore of an island. Would you want to wash up on a shore where there's a civilized people with hospitals and professionals and helpful, civilized, cultured, you know, that kind of people? Or would you rather wash up on a shore with a bunch of barbarians? And what if they're going to decide they're going to eat me? I don't know. You know, they're going to, the headhunters or whatever. And but in this passage tonight, these barbarians are some pretty good people. And it reminds me of something. And I think you've seen this in your life. I know I have. There are people out there that are not saved, but we use the term, we'll say they're good people. Let me say it this way. There are people out there that are not saved that are kind people. There are people out there that don't know Christ as their Savior that are generous people, helpful. They need to be saved. But it is not, we do not, as born-again Christians, we do not have a stranglehold on the idea of being kind to somebody. Now, let's turn that around. There are Christians that are not kind like they ought to be. There are some Christians that are not considerate. They do not help people when they could, or they do not do what they could for folks. And I just want you to understand something. If you had walked like the disciples did with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, you know what they saw? When he saw somebody in need, he met those needs. When he saw somebody that was hurting, he comforted them. When he saw some people that were hungry, and there are 5,000 of them, he fed them. When he saw somebody that was blind, he healed his blindness. Someone that was lame, he healed his body. Folks that were dead, he raised from the dead. For 3.5 years, now, he had miraculous power that we do not have. But for 3.5 years, he was an example of somebody who cared and did what he could. And he could do a lot. I got to ask you, do we do what we could? Are we helpful? Are we compassionate? Here we have in this passage some folks that are barbarians, and they see some people who are in need, some people that are suffering, some people that are cold, that are wet, that are hungry, and they show us some things that we could learn from, some things that we need to be doing. Amen? So I'm going to ask everyone to stand for the reading of God's Word, and we're going to read Acts chapter 28. I'm going to begin in verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 10, and we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, when they were escaped, he's talking about these folks that survived the shipwreck here, and they all survived. When they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. We call it Malta, okay? And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said amongst themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, your Holy Spirit has the power to allow us to hear what we need to hear, to make decisions, to do what's right, to be what's right, to do things that you would find pleasing in your sight. And Lord, we know that the Bible teaches us in 1 John that the way we love others, the way we treat others, the way we care for others is a perfect reflection of the way we care for you. The Bible says that if a man says that he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He doesn't love God. Lord, tonight I ask you to give us the guidance that we need. I pray for the young people here tonight that they would have ears to hear as well. Give me the words to speak that would just make the Word of God alive enough so that we can use it and be changed by it and be made what you want us to be. I pray that you'd be with those that cannot be here tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you got to agree with me. Doesn't God have a purpose for what he does? Amen? Sometimes life is like a roller coaster. I like a good roller coaster. How many of you like to ride roller coasters? How many of you stay far away from roller coasters? Mr. Mendez, amen. Okay, Matt, that's fine. They have a roller coaster in, it's in Six Flags in Maryland, and it's between where our church was in Washington, D.C. They had a Six Flags there. And this roller coaster, I think it's called Superman. My wife can correct me if I'm wrong. And I've never been on one like it. The roller coaster, you lay down on it. You're laying on your stomach, going head first as this roller coaster goes through all its gyrations and such. And I remember I rode that with a man, none of you know him, but my wife knows him. His name's Ashton Nelson. And Ashton Nelson, he's one of those people that if you know him, when you hear his name, you start laughing because there's so many stories about him. And he and I were on this thing, and I'd gone with the school, did a field trip to go to the park and ride the roller coasters. And so I went with them and was riding the roller coaster, and I was just watching how they did it. I have a theory about roller coasters. They're not going to kill you because they don't want you to sue them. So they're really going to try and keep you safe. And I actually used to do some programming for some folks up in northern Utah that were right across the road from a place that built roller coasters. And anyway, riding this roller coaster, this thing takes you up, and every now and then you think to yourself, oh, this is not good. And then they get you out of it, and they get you back in a good place again. And when you finish the whole thing, you say to yourself, that was fun. Let's do it again. Unless you're Mr. Mendez or Matt or a few others of us. But folks, if you will endeavor to find God's will for your life and make an effort to walk in it, he'll take good care of you. I want you to understand this very clearly. When you got saved, in the first place, if you are saved, you belong to God. You are his possession. You are his property, and he's going to take care of you. Now, if you are a rebellious child, and we've all met children somewhere along the way that didn't like to listen to their parents, the parents don't disown the child. They just teach the child. And if they're good parents, that means they give the child consequences for actions. There's some punishment or some chastening. But they love the child, and they protect the child, and they provide for the child. You made it. Praise the Lord. This brother called earlier and said he was going to come to church. I'm glad you made it. And it's okay that you're a bit late. Good to have you here tonight. What's your name?
Vince.
I'm Pastor Schaefer. We talked on the phone an hour ago. Thank you for being here. We're in Acts chapter, if you have a Bible, if he doesn't get him a Bible, we're in Acts chapter 28. God takes care of us.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, I really have messed up. Yeah, I have too. But you know what? When I came back to God, he took care of me.
Right.
Now watch this. These folks are shipwrecked. They could have died. They didn't. It's cold. It's raining. They're in the wrong time of the year. We took a trip one time out of Rome in the Mediterranean in the fall. You've never seen waves like that. It was amazing. These folks shouldn't have been out there. They messed up. Now, granted, it wasn't Paul's fault, but the rest of them it was. None of them died. Now they're on the island of Malta. And if you notice the end of the story, at the beginning of the story, they're shipwrecked, they're wet, they're cold. They're hungry. At the end of the story, look at verse 10. It says, they laded us with such things as were necessary. In other words, when they left, they had everything they needed. That's the way we like to be, right? With everything you have. But what about those times when God takes you through a shipwreck? Now, it gets worse. It's bad enough that they're shipwrecked. So they get onto the shore. The barbarian people, the barbarous people, gather them up, and they're going to build a fire. And you can see Paul's humility, Paul's servant's heart. He's helping gather firewood. Paul does not mind serving other people and being helpful. It's good to be helpful, isn't it? You know, you see somebody struggling, help them. That's what God would do. So Paul, he's helping. He's picking up sticks. We're going to build a fire. And he gets bit by a very deadly, poisonous snake. That's bad enough. You've been shipwrecked. Lord, now do I have to be bit by a snake? Who here has been snake bit before? Excellent. Nobody. Okay. The only time I have been snake bit, we found this little snake in our house about that long. And he bit me, and it was all he could do to get his mouth open enough to get a piece of me, and it was sort of like, whatever, you know, not very big deal. But what about a deadly viper that can bite you? And you ought to fall down dead. That's what they were expecting. They knew this snake, and they knew how deadly he was. Just a little footnote here. Sin is pictured as something deadly, like a deadly snake. And God can save you from that. Snake bites Paul. You might think, wow, this is bad enough that they got this shipwreck and now he's trying to help people. And while he's trying to help people, he gets snake bit. God had a purpose in that. God wanted to show these people something. Listen to me. I guarantee you, as you go through your life, God will allow things to happen to you so that he can use you as an example to other people of how good he is. Amen? And you say, well, I don't want to be snake bit. I don't either. But I sure want God to use me to teach some other folks. Amen? And I want to be that example of the one that God took care of. Wouldn't it be great if one day you could be talking to some folks and they would say to you, I was watching you when you went through a certain situation and the way you dealt with it changed my life. People do that. So look at these barbarians and let's see what we can learn from them tonight. We won't be too long here, maybe 15, 20 minutes. Starting back out in Acts chapter 28. They're on Malta. In verse 2 it says, they showed us, I like the way Paul says this, no little kindness. I like that word kindness right there. kindness. And he says, it wasn't a little, it was a lot. How? Ask yourself this question. How can you be kind to somebody? The Bible says, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How can you be kind to somebody? Can you be kind? Amen? Oh, and by the way, you might just note for the record here, there was no distinction. It wasn't, well, they're kind to Paul, but they're not kind to the Roman soldiers, or they're kind to the prisoners, but they're not kind to the officers or whatever. No, they were kind to everybody. Folks, let's just be kind to people. You know how it feels when someone's kind to you. Kindness. It's when you provide comfort to someone who needs it. It's when you show care or affection, and you don't just think them, but you allow them to cause you to act. It's when you put the needs of someone else ahead of your own needs. And folks, if we call ourselves Christians, we ought to be kind. I hate to mention it, but I'll be brief. I've known some people that claim to be wonderful Christians, and they were some of the most cruel people you ever met in your life. I've also known some people, they didn't know a lot of theology. They didn't know a whole lot. They didn't have a lot of education or a lot of sophistication or a lot of culture. They were kind of barbarian-like. But they knew how to be kind. Folks, we need to be kind. Even a barbarian can teach us the good, the value of kindness. When was the last time you took some time of your own and gave it to somebody else who needed it? You visited them in the hospital, or you gave them something when they were without, or you helped somebody to get something finished. And folks, you never can do too much of that. There'll be a day when you'll need kindness, just like Paul here. He needed kindness, and there'll be a day when you can give kindness. Be kind to folks, amen? They showed no little kindness, it says. So, even a barbarian knows how to be kind. Now, let's look at the second thing here. In verse 3, Paul's gathering sticks to get the fire bigger to warm folks, and this viper bites on his hand. Look at verse 4. And the barbarian saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, and they knew this is not just any old snake. This thing is deadly. This should kill you. And they're watching, and they're not going to say it out loud to him, but they say to one another, you know what? This man must be guilty of a horrible crime. He must be a murderer, maybe. And even though he escaped the sea, now vengeance suffereth him not to live. You know, even a barbarian understands there's this thing called justice. They know right from wrong, and they know that wrong deserves to be punished. We live in a day where a lot of folks just want to do wrong and get away with it. And they get mad when someone brings them to justice. And that's why the police are so unpopular, because a lot of the times the people that are doing wrong get caught. And people say, well, it's just not right that the police... No, you shouldn't have done wrong. Amen? Justice. Can I tell you something? God is just. God is just, and here's what that means. God judges righteously or rightly. He judges sin. There's not a single sin. What these fellows are saying here is this. Why would somebody have to die? Why would a poor fellow that just survived a shipwreck and now he's going to get bit by a serpent and die? Why would someone have to die? Obviously, they understand he has to die because he did something wrong and he deserves to die. They don't acknowledge the God that we know, not yet, but they do know that there is a higher power of some kind. We know that because later on they're going to think Paul's a God. And they understand that higher power is just. Do you understand God is just? Now, you and I, we're sinners. You say, well, I haven't sinned much. That's not the point. We're sinners. Some of us have sinned more than others. Some have sinned a whole lot. But that's not the issue. The question is this. What's going to happen because of that sin? And there's two choices. You can pay for it yourself. That would be fair. That would be just. Or you can accept the payment that Christ made on the cross. I've told you about this fellow before I knew back in Utah named Calvin. Calvin, an odd fellow and very, very, very smart. And he told me, he said, I just can't believe the gospel because it's not fair. It's not fair, he said, that somebody should have to die for my sins. I understand that it's not fair, but God did it that way. Jesus did not deserve to die, did he? Now, there's two kinds of people in this room tonight, probably. There's the kind of person, I know this for a fact, there are people in this room that have trusted Christ as their Savior. Let me make that very clear. You understood that you needed a Savior. You understood that you were a sinner. You understood that your sin was going to send you to hell, and you deserved to go to hell. And you didn't want that sin, and you didn't want that punishment. And those things go together, by the way. We don't just get saved to us so we can live wickedly. We get saved so God can change us. And you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. And the reason he was risen the third day was to demonstrate that the sin was all paid for. And you've asked him to save you. You have called upon him, and the Bible says, whosoever, that means anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad you did that? Here is God's justice. Every sin you ever committed, every sin you ever will commit, from the day you became aware of sin to the day you step into eternity, every single one of those sins was laid on Christ on the cross. He became your sin and gave you his righteousness. That's not fair. That's the way God chose to do it. Aren't you glad he did? If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're in the other category. You have sinned. You have broken God's law. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says in the Revelation that death and hell are going to be cast into a lake of fire. In fact, we have a story in the book of Luke about a fellow that died and lift up his eyes in hell, being in torments in the flame. We know all about what hell is like. We know how hell is eternal. We know who goes there. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, if you've not asked him to save you from your sins, you could. But there is justice with God. Even a barbarian knows God's going to judge sin. God's going to judge those that do wrong, and they're going to pay for it. And they looked at Paul, and they assumed since he's got bad things happening to him, since he's been bit by this poisonous snake, he must be a murderer. He must be a really bad guy, and God's out to get him. Watch it. That's the same thing they said about Job. His three friends came to him and said, Job, the reason you're suffering is because you've done something really bad, and God's punishing you. Don't assume that when bad things happen to good people, that they must be because they're guilty. That's a barbaric thing to think. Don't make that mistake. Yes, God is just, but God also allows bad things in our life so that he can use us. I wonder how many million, who knows, people have been comforted by reading Job and realizing that when you suffer, it's not always because you did bad. Barbarians understand justice. All right, just a couple more and we're done. Look at verse 5. He shook off the beast into the fire and he felt no harm. In verse 6, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. This is kind of funny if you think about it. They've seen the snake hanging from his hand. He shakes it off and falls into fire. Snake's dead. Oh, by the way, Satan's going to be in the fire one day, isn't he? Snake's dead. Paul standing there talking to him, and they're thinking, he's about to die. Watch him. He'll swell up here in a minute. I give him 30 seconds. He's in big trouble. He's going to die. Hang on. He must be a strong one, but he's about to die. And they watch him, and they watch him, and nothing happens. I wonder what's going on here. We know that snake's deadly. We saw it hanging from his hand. What's going on here? Well, maybe he's not guilty after all. And isn't it funny how the lost world jumps to conclusions about things? So now they got another idea. The barbarians say, hey, wait a minute. We got an idea here. Look at verse 6. It says, when they saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Well, anybody that can survive a snake bite that should kill you must be a god. It's a lowercase g, by the way. They assumed that if something was going to happen there and someone was able to endure that horrible trial of being bit by a deadly snake, that there must be something special about them. And they understood, if you see what happens next, it says in verse 7, there was this man that was going to be healed, and we'll read that in a second here, but now they change their mind about Paul and they realize something. First of all, they realize there are gods. I got good news for you. I found out who he is. Who's your God? Who do you trust in? Who do you give credit for the good, the things he does in your life, for delivering you? Who do you give credit for him protecting you and for blessing you? Who do you give credit for him providing the things that you need each day? And who do you give credit to? You say, well, I got a lot of money. Well, money's your God then. Well, I've got a great career and I can make a lot of money. Well, your career is your God then. Well, the government will take care of me. Well, the government's your God then, isn't it? You like our verse? Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Folks, make sure you got the right God. But even a barbarian realizes there's someone there that can take care of us. Even a barbarian realizes there's someone there that can protect us. And they've got it mixed up, and it's going to get fixed later, I know. But for the time being, they're just using their common sense. Common sense tells you there is justice, and there is a God that executes justice. And that if somebody were to be delivered from a deadly situation like this, God should get some credit for that. Do you give God credit in your life? These fellows are smarter than you think. You use the word barbarian here. I kind of like these barbarians. Let's look at one more, and we'll be done. In verse 7, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius. And I'm thinking he's talking about the land there, that this fellow must have owned the land, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. Now, that's a nice thing to be, is courteous. And it came to pass, when the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Now watch this. When this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. And here's my question. How did they know? Paul goes in and heals this man who should have died and who's suffering horribly. And Paul heals him by the power of God. And before you know it, here comes another sick person. And here comes another sick person. And here comes another sick person. Here comes another. There's a whole bunch of all the sick people are coming to Paul. Why would that be? Because even a barbarian's got enough sense to spread good news. Amen? We call ourselves Christians, and rightly we are, I hope. Christ-like. Do we have the sense of a barbarian to tell folks about Christ? Amen? No, Pastor, they won't listen. Oh, I don't know. These people did. You know, there are people out there that maybe they're so stubborn and foolish that they won't hear. But there's some that will hear. Amen? You've heard most of my tract stories over and over again, so I won't tell them again. But I can just tell you, I've had people take tracts, and I've seen them kiss them. I've seen them thank me for them. I've seen people sit and read them. I've seen people get saved because of them. Have you told folks about Christ? You know, Paul lands on this island and he heals this fellow. And they start spreading the word. There's a man here. He can help you. Folks, I know a God that can help you. Amen? Say, Pastor, you don't know my problem. I don't need to know your problem. I know God, and he's bigger than your problem. Trust me. I hope we, like the barbarians, have got enough sense to tell somebody, hey, Christ is the reason. How come you're doing so well? How come you didn't die? How come you're... Because Christ is the reason. Amen? It'd be a shame to live a good life where you're provided for and you're well taken care of and and your God's meeting your needs and solving, you know, dealing with your problems and so on. You never tell anybody that God did it. You say, oh, well, I just had a good life. No, you had a good life because of God. Even a barbarian's got enough sense to tell folks to spread the word. So now look at the last verses and we'll be done. When this was done, others which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. What's that mean? Well, he explains it. When we departed, we were elated us with such things as were necessary. These folks had shipwrecked. They didn't exactly have time to pack their suitcase and take it with them when they got off the ship. They were saved with the clothes on their back, and those were wet. And they didn't have any supplies, they didn't have any provisions, and they still had a ways to go. Even a barbarian has enough sense and knows enough to sacrifice to help others. You know, the barbarians would say, well, we've got food stored up for the winter, but you don't have any. Here, take some of ours. We have made clothing to keep us warm during the coming months when it's going to be freezing cold. You don't have any. Here, take some of ours. That's the way it works, isn't it? We have missionaries in a foreign field, and they need things. And I'll tell you this, we live in a land of abundance, and I'm not saying that we're all rich or that we're even kind of rich, but we have enough to spare because God gives us enough that we can help other folks out, can't we? Even a barbarian's got enough sense to sacrifice to help somebody. After the shipwreck, God saw fit to use unusual people, barbarians, to care for Paul and his companions. Maybe we could be that kind of person. What do you think? We've talked about shipwrecks before. There are people that have wrecked their lives. A couple of choices. You can look at them and say, yep, you got what you deserved. We warned you, and you didn't listen, and now you're in trouble. You got what you deserved. Folks, that's not called compassion. Compassion says, I don't care why. I can see that you're hurting, and I want to come to your side and help you. Because listen to me, folks. That's what God did for us. We did not deserve salvation. We got ourselves in that mess, didn't we? I've told you before, when I used to write software, the job I hated the worst, the worst thing I would ever want to do was take something that somebody else had messed all up and have to fix it. I don't mind writing it from scratch, starting over again, but to take something somebody else did and try to fix it would make me very unhappy because I kept thinking over and over, they messed this up. They messed this up. They messed this up. Why am I having to spend all my time fixing up their mistake? They could have done a better job if they'd have wanted to. And then it dawned on me one day, I messed up my life. Christ did not deserve to go through what he did to save me, but he did. The Christian thing to do is to suffer and help someone even though they don't deserve it. These people, these barbarians, they were kind. They didn't know the victims of the wreck. They had no obligation to them. They didn't expect anything in return. In the same regard, we should be kind to folks that can't return the kindness to us, that can't be a blessing to us. We're not kind to them for what we get. The Bible specifically condemns that. We're kind to them because Christ was kind to us. And we help them and we bless them because Christ blessed us. If barbarians expect justice, shouldn't we? If barbarians recognize that there's a God that is evident in daily events and they can see things happening and say, God did that, shouldn't we? Of course we should. If barbarians care enough about their neighbors to give them the good news that there's hope, that there's deliverance, that there is an answer, shouldn't we? Who'd you tell this week? Amen? Well, I got good news for you. Sunday's the first day of the week. You got 6 days left. Amen? Tell some folks. Get the news out. And even like a barbarian, Not a man known for his culture or his civilized nature or the way he behaves. Even like a barbarian, we should know how to be generous to those that are in need. Shouldn't we? Amen? My opinion of barbarians has changed. These fellows aren't so bad after all. Maybe God would put us in someone's life to be that barbarian when they need one. When you and I are in trouble, when we are in need, when we are in distress, God sends folks to us, doesn't he? I was listening to that testimony tonight about Nelson Doar. And I remember I went through probably the darkest time in my life, would have been 2015. And the last part of the year in particular, the last few months of 2015, I came here in the summer of 16, but there at the end of 2015, in the middle of 2015, there were some people that went out of their way to contact me by phone, mostly by phone, and just be a blessing. They knew I was going through a very, very bad time, and they wanted to be a blessing. And one of them was Nelson Doar. Stephen Harris was one of them. A man who's with the Lord now named Don Stevens, who died of brain cancer about 6 years ago. He was one of them. There were others. And I always thought to myself, isn't it good that God puts those kind of people out there to be there when we need it? Amen? Isn't it good that God had the barbarians right where they needed to be at the right time? And then you got to ask yourself the question, well, now that maybe you've been on the receiving end of that, now maybe it's time to be on the giving end. Amen? And be that for somebody else. That's what Christ did for us. Amen? Don't go through life seeing how much you can collect. Go through life seeing how much you can give. Amen? I was at a conference, not a good conference at all, but a conference in, I think it was the summer of 15, it might have been 14, in Baltimore. And this fella got up to speak. And for as bad as the conference was, it was one of the best things I've heard in years. And he said, you know, he said to our church, and I forgot where it was, Texas, I think. Our church was going along just fine. We were doing pretty good. We were making it and everything was okay. And then a fellow down the road a ways wanted to start a church. And some of my people came to me and said, we'd like to go help him. Be very careful when you change churches, by the way. But it was a legitimate situation, and the fellow said, you know, at first I was really unhappy about that. How? Why is this man doing this to me, and why? And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. Who put those people in this church to begin with? God did. Oh, just in case you didn't know, if you're in a church, it's because God put you there. And when you leave a church, it's because God takes you out. Someone says, no, I left. No, you didn't. God moved you. And the fellow said, it dawned on him. He said, you know, rather than being hoarding the people that I had, what I want to do is be a blessing to others. And if that means letting some of those folks go serve with a startup church, then so be it. And I said, fine, go help the fellow. And he said, you know what happened? Our church grew. Because folks, you can't outgive God. Amen? Amen. You know who provides for our church? It's not the bank. It's the Lord. You know who put you here? The Lord. You know who pays your bills? Well, if you're a Christian, the Lord. Amen? Don't be the taker. Don't be the collector. Don't be the hoarder. Be the one that helps the other people, even at your great expense. And what you'll find is God will help you more than you helped those folks. He says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap, and you're going to reap abundantly. Amen? Get the gospel out. Be kind to folks. Be helpful. Be that person that they need when they need it, so that someone will be that person when you need it. But be the giver, and trust me, you can't outgive God. God will take care of you. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.